We're also here to remember another form of clearance which is going on an absolutely vast scale, a kind of world clearance, where the rich are literally, the possessing people are manipulating the entire space of the world and arranging it according to their economic and political imperatives, which are the accumulation of capital, the accumulation of property, the selling and buying of goods to their advantage, and so on and so forth. And this is now known by the general handle globalization, a word I actually don't like very much. It's now become one of those words that like oozes its way into every conversation. And I don't think it does much. It's always been I don't like boop words, you know, glob. It hasn't got any pep to it in globalization. So, and people use it all the time to explain everything. Globalization. And it almost, like those words, gets between you and what we're looking at. And what are we looking at? We're looking at globalization in many ways is nothing new. Peter Linebaugh and Marcus Rediker describe, in a way, proto-globalization back when the rich navies of the Spanish, the Portuguese, the British, the Netherlands were coursing across the world. There was globalization. You know, here's an image of globalization off the Sierra Leone coastline in 1606. There were two British slave ships, and there was an audience of people listening to a production of Shakespeare, again, that was being put on by the crew. The crews were putting on productions of Richard II and Henry IV, Part II. And the audience were the slavers, the African lords who were bringing slaves, and they were listening while Shakespeare was being translated to them by the king's interpreter. There's an image of globalization for you. 1605. So, globalization is absolutely nothing new. What is new now? Things that are not terribly interesting and exciting. People talk about rapidity of information. Means of repression, of course, are very ferocious if necessary, but the means of repression back then were very ferocious, more ferocious in some ways. Hard to say. Is it more ferocious now on the 17th of January when Bill Clinton was giving a posthumous Medal of Honor to Teddy Roosevelt? What a relief. Imagine. Weren't you all on tenterhooks, you know, waiting? Would Teddy Roosevelt get his Medal of Honor? Why did he get his Medal of Honor for? It was very appropriate, almost his last action. Bill Clinton did not pardon Leonard Peltier. He did pardon a scumbag like Mark Rich, an international thief. And he signed the order to give Teddy Roosevelt a Medal of Honor for the charge up San Jacinto Hill in the Spanish-American War. One, the image of resurgent or insurgent or presurgent American imperialism. When the Rough Riders, who were a drunken rabble of socialites from New York, were going up the hill with Roosevelt in their army special uniforms made of Brooks Brothers, and were doing very badly. And a black battalion came to their rescue and saved them. No? Saved them. And they immediately gave 21 medals of honor. Not to the black battalion, you can be sure. They gave it to the Teddy Roosevelt people. But not to Teddy Roosevelt because the Minister of War didn't like him. Teddy Roosevelt, all his life, campaigned for the Medal of Honor. He said, I wish I had it. He rushed out a quick book on the Rough Riders. And finally, Bill Clinton, who did so much else. So much else. Bethought himself to sign the order for Teddy Roosevelt to get his Medal of Honor. And so the shade of Teddy Roosevelt can now, you know, strut a little prouder in the dungeons of hell or wherever he is. But I was saying, on lethality, on the very day that Roosevelt was receiving this posthumous attribute of glory, what was happening in Colombia? Colombia, the paramilitaries, obviously part of the army, they're always called death squads. You know, let's call it an unofficial army unit. commanded by the Colombian army, paid for by money, another slice of which was released on the 18th of January. No one can say things don't come in compact fashion. On the 18th of January, the Clinton administration, in another of its final acts, released another slab of money for the Colombian military. Despite the fact that everybody knows that the human rights record of the Colombian forces, whether official, unofficial, state forces of repression, are among the worst in the world, if not the worst. They said that because, and there are in the Colombian aid bill that went through last year, $1.3 billion, pushed through by the Clinton administration in concert with the Republicans, there's bipartisanship at work for you, there were human rights provisions. There are always human rights provisions. They always say, yes, there'll be a certification that we will not release a dime of this money until we have certification by human rights groups that there's been improvement in the conduct of the Colombian armed forces. Any of you who were around in the 80s fighting the wars over aid to El Salvador, remember what happens. They get one battalion, they say, this battalion is so genteel in its behavior, they help our ladies across the road, they minister to the sick and the dying, they are clean. Give them $100 million. Meanwhile, of course, the unit, at night, they take off their army uniforms, put on their black shirts, go out and cut the throats of every woman and child in the nearest village. That's called a death squad. That's not the army, that's a death squad. We don't know who tells them what to do. And so that's what happened. The villagers of Chengue knew back in October what was going to happen. They wrote to President Pastrana of Colombia, and they said, we have these units moving around, they're going to attack us and they're going to kill us. Please help. Nothing happened. On the 17th of January, the units came into town, killed somewhere between 30 and 60 of these people, these poor people, burned down a bunch of houses and went on their way. There you have an image of the very end of Clinton time. No pardon for Peltier, pardoning a rich international crook whose wife has given $250,000 to the Democratic National Committee, a medal for Teddy Roosevelt, and aid to the Colombian killers. And people are regretting Clinton time.